from KQED.
From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. How to provide health care to more Californians is, of course, a complicated question, and it's usually lawmakers and special interests who try to sort it all out. But tomorrow, 3,000 everyday Californians will try their hand at health care policy. It's a unique statewide town meeting of sorts, bringing together citizens to try and craft recommendations for the governor and the state legislature. We'll explore how it works and how it might impact state lawmakers after this. From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. Something unusual is going to happen tomorrow. At 8 locations all around California, citizens will gather and try to sort out some of the most vexing healthcare questions before us. How do we make sure more Californians are insured? How do we pay for that care? What's the role of employers? And what's the role of government? Coming to terms with those questions is not your normal weekend activity. But for 3,000 Californians tomorrow, healthcare policy will replace backyard barbecues as the activity of choice. The event is sponsored by America Speaks, a Washington-based nonpartisan organization. The activity is funded by the California Wellness Foundation, the California Endowment, and the Blue Shield Foundation of California. The goal is to create a citizen's mandate for healthcare reform that will nudge the legislature and the governor into action. How it will work and whether it will work is our topic this hour. And joining us to take part in that conversation, Carolyn Lukensmeyer. She is founder and president of America Speaks. Carolyn Lukensmeyer, good morning.
Well, good morning, Dave. Pleasure to be with you.
Happy to have you with us. Here, too, is Arkan Fung. He's associate professor of public policy at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University, and he's engaged in advising and assessing the overall activity. Professor Fung, good morning.
Good morning.
Here, too, is Larry Levitt. He's vice president of the Kaiser Family Foundation, a policy and information center that is not involved in tomorrow's activities, but is closely following what will happen. Larry Levitt, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
And Democratic State Senator Joe Simidian, who represents the South Bay in the state Senate and is engaged in the legislature's efforts to tackle the health care problem. Senator Simidian, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Well, let's talk about what you're trying to do first, Carolyn Lukensmeyer, and the why behind it. Describe first what's going to take place. There's some 3,000 citizens participating at 8 different locations, ranging from Humboldt in the north to San Diego in the south. They're going to gather together at these individual sites, and then what will they do?
Well, and it's important for your listeners to know, Dave, that the sites will all be linked together by satellite video conferencing. So we actually will be holding a statewide conversation for Californians tomorrow. In each one of the sites, if you just create this picture in your mind, the citizens will gather in groups of 10 around small tables, and each table will have a facilitator. That will ensure that every person gets to speak and that no one dominates the conversation. And the first question that they'll be asked tomorrow morning is, what values do you believe should drive health care reform in California? And as each table in all four sites has their conversation about the values, one of the residents will actually type into the computer what their table agrees on are the key values that should drive health care reform and that they want the governor and the legislative leaders to have in mind as they're working on this fall. And all of those ideas from all 8 cities will go to a central computing team that will read them real time while the citizens go on to talk about another topic. The next topic they will talk about is what role employers should play in the reform process. And then when the theme team finishes on the values, they will be projected up on large audiovisual screens in all 8 sites, so all 3,000 Californians can see them simultaneously. That will probably produce a list of, I would guess, 10 to 15 values, and the senator may want to comment on this, but 10 to 15 values is a lot in terms of providing focus or really understanding at a deep level what people care most about. So at that stage, each citizen and resident will actually have a keypad polling device. And we would just ask them, reflect on your experience of healthcare, reflect on what you want to be true for all Californians in the future in terms of access to quality healthcare, and pick the three values that you really believe should be the underpinnings of what the healthcare system in California reflects.
And before we go into further detail about what you, how that process will work tomorrow, comment briefly on what the overall goal is, what it is that you hope at the end of the day will be sent forward to the state legislature.
Well, at the end of the day, the public will have had an opportunity to explore each of the key issues that are currently represented in either the governor's proposal or key legislative proposals on health care reform. And there has been a goal set and a hope that even this year, in 2007, there is the possibility for a bill to be passed and signed by the governor. So the goal on Saturday is for the public to weigh in on their collective wisdom about what the employer's role should be in the reform, what government's role should be in the reform, whether or not all individuals in California should be required to carry some kind of insurance, and then how would we pay for this package?
And explain, if you would also, Professor Fung, how these citizens were selected, because I know a good deal of effort was made to try to have this be a representative body.
Yeah, so the organizers of this event tried to make sure that the people who participate in the town meeting are representative of Californians in general, and in particular are representative of the eight places that these meetings are being held. And so they use what's called a random selection process. And so this is what opinion pollsters use all the time when they try to kind of basically go through the phone book and pick a random mix of people so that it's not the case that people with a special interest in healthcare or a special interest in single payer or employer mandates or whatever gets into the room. They really tried very, very hard to pick a representative sample of people from these eight different cities.
I guess, of course, to some degree, there'd inevitably be some aspect of self-selection because people have to decide they want to go do this. So inevitably, there's, to some extent, I'm sure you wind up with a group that has to perhaps a greater degree than the overall population, a particular interest in this topic or certainly a particular motivation. But as best as you can, this should be California in a snapshot.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it's we actually don't know how much the factor that you pointed to, the fact that, one thing, these people are likely to be a little bit different because they're going to have time to spend a whole Saturday talking about this issue. We don't know exactly how good the process will be, but we'll be able to tell you in retrospect because we're going to do a lot of surveying and asking these people questions, and so we'll be able to compare what these people think and what they look like, who they are, to the rest of California. And so at least in retrospect, we'll be able to tell you whether or not the people who went to these town meetings are look a lot like the rest of California or look a lot different. One thing I do feel pretty confident in saying is that the people who go to the town meetings are likely to be more like ordinary Californians than most other venues of public participation, like sort of asking the interest groups or people who show up to public hearings and like that.
Well, on that point, State Senator Joe Simidian, how do you view the value of this? Because as Professor Fung suggests, normally the intricacies of healthcare policy are something that are debated by people like you, by state lawmakers, by people who have a particular interest in this, by various special interest groups who come and pound on your door in Sacramento. So I'm curious as to how you look at this and whether or not your colleagues at the legislature will view this as an opportunity to get a particular form of insight that you don't normally get under the rotunda.
I think that it's a really interesting answer, or at least one of the answers to the question that I struggle with every day, which is how do you listen to 37 million Californians? I mean, that's a very tough challenge if you're serious about it. Even within my district, and this is one of the challenges we have in California, I have 900,000 constituents in my state Senate district. That's larger than half a dozen of our smaller states in the country. So, you know, I do a wide range of things, and I think to try and make sure that I am listening as well as communicating what we're doing in the Capitol And I think the only cautionary note I would offer to, you know, otherwise I'm quite enthusiastic and looking forward to hearing the results, is it's important not to think of this as the silver bullet. You really have to do it all. There isn't just one way to listen for some of the reasons that you've already suggested. So I do sidewalk office hours, for example. I set up a card table with a sign at farmers markets so that folks who wouldn't come to a town hall but who might wander by on their way to pick up some apricots or some fresh-cut flowers will wander over and give me a piece of their mind. I think that that's a healthy and important thing to do. But no matter how many of these things we do, there are always going to be folks who aren't going to be using that particular venue, and that's why you have to do it all. But I think to try and do something that is statewide and that is genuinely representative is a very, very helpful effort.
And how seriously will that viewpoint be taken, especially at a relatively late hour? We're now approaching the middle of August. You still have a budget to resolve. You're on recess at the moment. Coming at this point in the legislative process, is it realistic for citizen input to really have an influence on what you do?
Oh, I think it is. Now, look, let's be candid. It'll depend on the individual members of the legislature. Some will be more inclined to listen and others less. Fair enough. But we're in the middle of a two-year session. We're in 07-08. So if something doesn't get done this year, or if the job only gets partially done this year, we're looking at next year as the second half of the two-year session. But even at what you describe as a late point in the process, you know, there's plenty of time now for the point of view that is expressed through this exercise to be heard and responded to. I always get anxious when I hear someone say in a meeting, well, everybody knows. Well, you know, everybody doesn't know. It would be nice to hear from folks around the state and see what they think. I think the one challenge, and I'd be curious to hear how your other guests feel about this, is I'll be curious to see whether or not we don't have some legitimate competing values that emerge. What happens if among the top three values that emerge, cost control is at the top, but absolute choice and access is also at the top? Those are going to sort of tug at one another.
Well, and that speaks to the point, Larry Leavitt, that this is not an easy topic. I mean, you couldn't perhaps pick a more complicated topic for anyone to sort through, be it citizens or be it special interest groups.
No, you really couldn't. I mean, the healthcare system is a seventh of the economy and is incredibly complex. So on the one hand, it's maybe optimistic to expect that we can, you know, put people in a room even for a whole Saturday and expect them to be able to absorb all those complexities and make sense of them. On the other hand, healthcare is a topic that everyone has personal experience with. I mean, everyone has interacted with the healthcare system, but unfortunately, at one time or another, and it's a top personal worry. I mean, all of our polls suggest that this is the thing that people are personally worried about and talking about over the dinner table.
Your organization, the Kaiser Family Foundation, isn't engaged in this effort tomorrow, so you can function to a degree as an independent observer of this. I'm curious as to whether or not you think it can be useful.
I think one purpose could be to put some pressure on legislators and the governor to act this year on healthcare issues. I mean, if there is a bit of a groundswell on the issue and greater attention to it. I mean, frankly, you know, this debate is huge in Sacramento, but it has not gotten a lot of media coverage statewide. So if political leaders feel the need to act, I think that will that will be helpful. I think sort of expecting this to help state senators or assembly members or the governor kind of sort through the trade-offs. I mean, I think as the senator said, it'll be one kind of one piece of the puzzle, but probably only one piece.
Dave, sure. Can I jump in on just that last point about...
Yeah, Arkan Fung, please.
Oh, great. About the kind of trade-off in values. There are two advantages to this kind of, you know, taking a bunch of hours, 6 or 7 hours, to talk about an issue in depth through this town meeting process. And the first is participation, is who goes there, and this will be, you know, something like a random sample, or at least closer to that. The second effort the second contribution is that people will be asked to deliberate and make these trade-offs, and that is very unusual in our political structure, usually through, you know, California ballot questions or politicians surfacing their proposal or, you know, some proposal or other. People are asked to get behind one particular value, like lower taxes or like freedom of choice of healthcare plans or like complete coverage or something like that. And if you ask people those questions one at a time, of course they want yes, 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 but there aren't enough venues and forums in which people actually have to make these tough trade-offs. And so that's one solid contribution, I expect, to come out of these Saturday events.
Chime in on that further, Carolyn Lukensmeyer, if you would, because normally a poll, of course, you know, gets someone's snapshot opinion at a moment when they're frying eggs in the kitchen or whatever, and not necessarily having thought about this a great deal. The opportunity that you're providing, in a way, is to really get public opinion, but after people have had some time to think about it.
Absolutely, and I couldn't help but think when the senator mentioned the competing values. We've actually simulated aspects of the agenda in five cities in California already. We've done that in San Diego and Riverside and Oakland and Sacramento and here in Los Angeles. And when you spoke, Senator, literally images came to me of a young Hispanic woman who clearly held a very, very high value in terms of free market and capitalism, and also holds a very, very high value in terms of that we as a society should be responsible for health care coverage for everyone. And it is really inspiring to see ordinary people grapple when they know a choice has to be made that will not allow them to incorporate all of the values they carry.
And what happens then? What did you see as you played that out in your simulated situation?
Well, in this case, the young woman engaged very, very fully on the issues about should employers be required to offer insurance to all their employees or pay a fee into the system. And on one hand, she really believes that more people in California really need to be covered, and in California has an employer-based system, and all the current proposals looking at this that are in play at this point in the legislative process keep the employer-based system. And she actually, in the end, felt like, despite the fact that she would not ordinarily support a requirement on the private sector, that in order to achieve coverage for more Californians, that her value of that we as a society should, in fact, support everyone to have access to health care was the deeper, more importantly, held value.
Hmm. These exercises, sometimes called deliberative democracy, have been going on in different places, right, Carolyn Lukensmeyer, for some time, in different states and different countries, for at least a decade or more. And I'm curious about whether or not there are examples of where it's actually influenced public policy, where as a result of one of these activities, a state legislature or a parliament or whatever has taken that input and made a change.
Well, you're absolutely right, Dave. This is, and I would actually say that the track record is a couple of decades, although a lot more activity in the last 10 years. I'll use one example of our own work and then give you an example of some other people's work. We, America Speaks, collaborated with a British organization and actually ran a process countrywide in Britain for the issue of health care, which is why it comes to mind given our current situation here with California Speaks. It was a project called Your Health, Your Care, Your Say. And we held five regional meetings around the country, and then 1,000 people were randomly selected to represent the British population. And in this case, the project was actually sponsored directly by the Ministry of Health. Patricia Hewitt then held that position. She was the person who was writing the policy papers for Tony Blair at the time. And about 4 months after the deliberation was finished, many of the aspects of what the public had recommended actually became the way the healthcare system in Britain was reformed. So that's a very dramatic example of the actual sponsor being the government itself.
And before you get to your other example, I just want to bring Larry Levitt and Joseph Midian back in response to that to talk about how this can actually have an influence. I'm curious, Larry Levitt, about how you would make sure, if you could, that the sort of conversation that bubbles forth, the sort of story and anecdote that Carolyn Lukensmeyer was describing, actually gets to the ears of, well, it'll get to the ears of Joseph Midian because he's listening now, but to other lawmakers so that it actually does have an impact.
Yeah, it has to get to their ears, and it has to get to their ears quickly. I mean, as you mentioned earlier, I mean this process is not at the beginning, but potentially nearing the end. And if legislation is going to happen this year, it has to happen quite fast. I also think, I mean, we talked some about trade-offs, and trade-offs are very important in healthcare. I think the other important issue here is what types of approaches resonate or don't resonate with people who have had an opportunity to think about them. For example, there's a bit of a disagreement between the governor and Democratic leaders in the legislature over whether employers should play a large role in funding the system or individuals should be required to purchase insurance and play a larger role. And I think getting a sense of, I mean, that is a very big issue, and getting a sense of how those two alternatives resonate with people would be very useful.
And Joe Simidian,
could I just jump in? Because
yeah.
In this case, it's important that your listeners know that we've been working directly with Governor Schwarzenegger's lead health policy people, directly with Speaker Nunez's people, directly with President Pro Tem Parada's people. They actually, and Senator, you said exactly one of the key areas of difference, and all the key policy people have been party to crafting the questions and have been party to saying, yeah, you know, we are taking a risk here. We do not know what the public is saying, but we really do want to know what resonates with the public on these key issues like the employer mandate and the individual mandate.
So the questions you're going to be tracking line up directly with the kinds of questions that the legislature is now trying to resolve.
Absolutely. When we sat down in the first meeting, the key question we started with is, what is it you really want to learn from the people of California? The value of doing California Speaks is that we are asking exactly the nuanced questions that represent the differences in these proposals.
We have to take a break in just a moment, but a word quickly from you first, Joe Simidian, on your advice to sort of how to get this to the right ears at the state capitol.
Well, I think that I think asking the right questions and providing information that will be genuinely relevant to the decisions we have to make is a very good first step. I was thinking as the other members of the panel were commenting that, you know, we've got virtually every member of the Republican caucus in both the Assembly and the Senate, with perhaps just one or two exceptions, has taken a no new taxes pledge. Well, you know, the things we're going to talk about are going to cost money, and it would be useful to know, are people prepared to pay a little bit more if they're going to get the benefits of a health care system that really works for everyone in California? If the answer to that question is no, that will give some folks some leverage in the debate. If the answer to that question is, yeah, we'd pay a little bit more for something that really worked, that'll give other people some leverage in the debate. But that's important, useful, and most significantly relevant to the choices we'll have to make. And I think that's a good first step in making sure that folks in the legislature listen to the outcome of this exercise.
State Senator Joe Simidian, he joins us this hour along with Archon Fung, Associate Professor of Public Policy at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard, Larry Levitt, Vice President of the Kaiser Family Foundation, and Carolyn Lukensmeyer, who is founder and president of America Speaks, an organization that is putting on a 3,000-person, 8-site, satellite-linked statewide town hall meeting tomorrow to talk about healthcare policy and trying to give recommendations and insights to the lawmakers who must make those decisions sometime in the coming year. When we come back, we'll take your calls on this subject as well. What do you think of this idea, and what are your own values and priorities for healthcare? We'll open it up to get your input as well. You can join us now at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786, or you can email us at forum@kqed.org. I'm Dave Iverson, and this is Forum on KQED. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. Our topic this hour, a unique statewide town hall meeting that will be taking place across California tomorrow at 8 different locations. Some 3,000 Californians will gather and work their way through a series of healthcare policy questions to try to provide some consensus about how they view those issues to help inform the legislature and the governor as they tackle these problems in the months ahead. We're joined by Carolyn Lukensmeyer, who is founder and president of America Speaks, the organization that is heading up this effort. Associate Professor Archon Fung of the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard, who's helping to assess the overall effort, Joe Simidian, California State Senator, and Larry Levitt, Vice President of the California Family Foundation. We'd be remiss, I think, if we didn't touch on at least the scope of the problem itself and why it's so important that California come to terms with this some way and in a way that represents what people in this in the state of California really feel. So, Larry Leavitt, just take a moment, if you would, before we go further, to talk about why this issue matters so much.
Sure. And we talked earlier about, in some sense, the trade-off between coverage and cost. And the fact of the matter is both are a problem. Over 6 million Californians don't have any health insurance, but at the same time, health insurance premiums have risen 87% over the last 6 years, which is more than four times the growth in wages. So health insurance is becoming increasingly unaffordable. And as I mentioned earlier, I mean, this is a top concern. In fact, our polls show it's the top domestic concern for the public, behind only Iraq. So it's an issue that the public really feels personally, worries about personally, and wants their leaders to address.
And yet, oddly, as a couple of you have pointed out, it has not received in some ways a ton of attention. Joe Simidian, how much do you hear about it at your office? How big a priority will it really be for the legislature, given all the other issues, including primarily, of course, the state budget that you have before you?
Yeah. I hear about it a lot, but I hear about it a lot from organized interest groups rather than as a matter of sort of the general public conversation. And I think to some extent that's because people sort of throw up their hands and say there just isn't anything we can do about this. And I think that's why this exercise is important. And I think it's why, I'll give credit to Governor Schwarzenegger. He put this issue at the top of his agenda at the beginning of the year. He didn't have to do that. And while I may differ with specifics of his proposal, you know, good for him for forcing the conversation at the beginning of the year. There's a great Walter Cronkite observation years ago. He said, "I don't know why we call it a healthcare system. It isn't healthy, it isn't caring, and it sure as hell isn't a system." And that's pretty much the reaction I get from folks when I talk to them in my district.
You know, Carolyn Lukensmeyer, it occurs to me that it would be probably incredibly useful and educational if people were there to observe these sessions from the state legislature. Perhaps some will be, because the story you told about the young Hispanic woman wrestling with the essence of this debate, it just seems to me that in some ways, as much as the recommendations and overall data that you will pool together at the end of the day will be important, that just witnessing those struggles would be keenly insightful for our lawmakers to witness.
There's no question about that, Dave, and particularly, as I said before, people are seated at tables of 10. They will be very diverse groups of people, most of whom will never have had the opportunity to talk with someone like the people they're going to be talking at their table. And very, very inspiring and educational, insightful conversations take place that really do change people's perspectives.
There's no question that
and a lot of staff members are coming, and I think we have currently our RSVP list. I think there are about 21 elected officials across the 8 sites that will be with us at some point during the day.
And Archon Fung, is that part of what you measure, is the degree of change that people go through, that they walk in the door feeling one way, but after spending a day thinking about this, talking with their neighbors, talking with people who may be different than them, that they come away feeling something different?
We will definitely be trying to pick that up in great detail, and we'll also be trying to pick up whether or not different groups of people, whether people from Sacramento feel a different way at the end of the day than people from Oakland or L.A. But, one point that I wanted to pick up on, the kind of the gorilla in the closet that we haven't talked much about is interest groups who are mobilized around healthcare reform, either for or against, and that's kind of an important aspect of this conversation, because if the only players in the political game here were the legislature, the governor, and the public, then some form of health care reform, I think, would be very, very likely to happen over the next year. But those aren't the only actors. There's also kind of mobilized special interest groups who each stand to lose a little bit, or sometimes perhaps a lot, whether it's insurers who are going to have to be mandated to provide health care coverage insurance, or employers who are going to be taxed, or some other group. And it's those groups that stand a good chance, I think. I'm not a close observer of California politics, but I don't think it's a stretch to say it's those groups who might ultimately block health care reform. And part of this effort, I think, at least on the part of some people, is they hope to introduce the public who cares deeply about health care reform and improving and expanding health care coverage as an independent kind of stronger voice in in this important public policy question.
So in a sense, making citizens their own interest group.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's kind of an odd state in democracy when if it's the case that the legislature wants it, the governor wants it, and public opinion is massively for it, but nothing happens down the road. You'd say, well, there's something broken in our democracy if that's the case.
And to our calls this morning, again, we welcome your participation. Here's the number, 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786, or you can email us at forum@kqed.org. Bill is up first in San Francisco. Bill?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I've got a question for Ms. Lukensmeyer. Technically, this would constitute research under a federal definition of research. So I'm wondering, how could you ensure a good population sample to ensure that people who were in this pool of questionees had health issues to deal with, like chronic life-threatening health issues? And if they did, how did you go about obtaining a HIPAA authorization or a HIPAA waiver? And what was the institutional review board that approved your research plan?
Well, our project actually, although there will be research done on it, is really a citizen engagement project. And what we're asking the public to do is weigh, based on their values, weigh these choices on the employer mandate and the individual mandate and whether or not insurance companies should be guaranteeing access to insurance in California. So I think in terms of the policy and regulations that you're referring to, the work that we're doing would not actually be applicable to it.
On the other point he mentioned, setting aside the technical question, Archon Fung, though it is an interesting point to think about whether or not you want to have within this pool of people who are dealing with particular healthcare concerns, whether that's the number of people who are uninsured or people who are dealing with a chronic condition that might not be covered, so forth and so on, is how, and because you can't really screen for that in advance, can you?
We haven't screened for that in advance. I mean, I didn't do the random selection of the participants, but to the best of my knowledge, they have not been screened for that. But hopefully we'll be able to tell. I mean, we have some questions in our survey about, for instance, whether or not they're insured or whether or not they felt like they've had difficulties getting healthcare access. And so we'll know that about the participants, and we'll be able to see, hopefully the random draw will be big enough so that we'll get many people actually who've had some difficulty in their encounters with the healthcare system, and we'll be able to tell whether or not they feel differently about healthcare policy than people who are very, very healthy and very happy and fully insured.
Well, and if
you added about that, the issue of will there be uninsured people there, and given how important that central that is to the policy proposals that are in front of us, yes, when in fact people were invited, they share their demographics, including a demographic about their level of insurance and whether or not they're uninsured. So we will have a randomly representative sample of uninsured people in the room.
Just doing the math roughly in my head, if 1 in 5 Californians is uninsured, you should have about 600 people across the state that would meet that definition, roughly. Someone else wanted to chime in on this point?
This is State Senator Joe Sumitian.
Yeah.
And I think this is an interesting part of the conversation because it gets us back to this challenge that we have in a very diverse, pluralistic society of genuinely hearing from, listening to everyone in the state and that wide range of interests. In the district that I represent, I've got teachers, I've got union electricians, I've got welfare moms, I've got CEOs, and my obligation is to listen to them all. And, it's a challenge, as I said earlier, but to the extent that an exercise like this can pull together a genuine cross-section or something close, I don't think perfection is required for this to be a very valuable exercise. I think that's a plus. It's, Dr. Fung is chatting with us from Massachusetts. You know, I happen to know there that the state assembly districts, the state representatives districts, as they call them there, I think have 40,000 people in them. In California, they're 10 times as large. In California, you have 6 years maximum under term limits to get to know your district and to represent it well. There are no such term limits in Massachusetts. It creates a very different dynamic, and I would argue a pretty challenging one, in terms of really listening to and responding to the diverse needs of a diverse state and like California.
It makes this sort of exercise all the more important, you're saying. Yeah.
If I can jump
Carolyn Luxensmeyer.
Just for a moment, exactly what you just expressed, Joe, is why why I created America Speaks, because after serving as a chief of staff to a governor in Ohio in the late 80s, I really experienced how difficult it is for an elected official to stay connected in a meaningful way to a true representative sample of the general interest public. And as you were extremely articulate earlier about, in order to accomplish this, it takes many, many, many tools to stay in touch with the tune and the attunement of how our pluralistic society feels collectively. But the point is, it is possible, and it can be done.
Back to our calls. Linda is next in Berkeley. Linda, you're on. Linda, are you with us? No, Linda. Okay, let us go next to Don in San Francisco. Don, are you with us?
Yes, hi.
Go ahead.
I didn't get an invitation, but some of my friends did. It seems to me that I didn't see any questions about questioning the existence of the insurance industry in the healthcare loop, period. And I didn't see any mention of having Senate Bill 840 and someone from Senator Kuhl's office there to present that proposal, which last year actually passed in California. And people would, with that option, people wouldn't have to make the choices between cost and pre-existing conditions and all that things. That just by removing that whole bureaucracy of the insurance industry, everybody could have health care and it would be cheaper. So is one of the questions, would people feel better if we had the insurance industry removed from health care? I want to know if that's part of tomorrow's proceedings.
Don, thank you. Carolyn?
Well, Don, it's very important for you and all the listeners on the program to know that we worked very closely with Senator Kuhl's staff as well in the preparation for this meeting. And there will be ample opportunity for the public to express their views on if their interest is in the single-payer system that is proposed in Senate Bill 840. It's also just factually at this point in time, Senate Bill 840 has not gone all the way through the legislative process. So at this stage of the game, it is less likely that that will be part of the negotiations in terms of what is possible at 2007.
So again, you're really trying to focus on what's front and center in the legislature right now, the Senate committee that passed the bill, I guess it's Assembly Bill 8, about a month ago, that has to do with the employer mandate and also how much employees would have to be contribute. You're really trying to keep your eyes on the prize.
We are, and at the same time, make it totally available for citizens to express their support for a single-payer approach in California so that the legislature knows the depth of that sentiment as well.
Yeah.
But you've said it exactly right. There is an opportunity this year or next year in California to pass legislation that is beginning to be negotiated out, and we hope people's voices will focus on influencing that opportunity.
Larry is next. Larry, go ahead, please.
Hi. Thank you for letting me speak. I wanted to tell you what happened when I spoke to the office of my representative, but I quickly wanted to make a comment first, please. Besides the fact that everyone know, that people ought to know, until there's taxpayer-paid campaigns and until the same people who are in the legislature get the same insurance that everyone else does, we won't get a really good deal. It's kind of like trying to make a polio vaccine that ahead of time you know that's really not going to work completely. When I called my state representative and said, I'd like to make an appointment, no matter how long it takes to get the appointment, so that person can hear from the horse's mouth what I have to go through, I was totally healthy. I'm 100% disabled and in the workers' comp system, I was told by that person's chief of staff, oh, we'll help you as much as we can, but this representative isn't on XYZ committee, so there's no point to it anyway.
Yeah, Larry, I hear your frustration, and let Joe Simidian respond to it. Joe Simidian, as you say, you have 900,000 people in your state Senate district, which is more than a congressional district, more, as you say, than the population of an entire state, and yet you hear someone like Larry with particular frustrations. What do you advise so that that voice can be heard?
You know, it's let me just do a quick piece of math, and I say this not by way of excuse, but by way of explanation. There are probably 600,000 adults in my 900,000-person district, and if we let each one of them have a 15-minute conversation, and I worked 60 hours a week and did nothing but listen to constituents for, say, 60 hours a week every week of the year, 50 years from now, long after term limits and long after I'm gone, we still wouldn't have gotten through everybody who wanted to have a chat. Now, of course, you know, those numbers are a little bit irrelevant because not everybody wants to come in and chat. But it's tough. And I, as I mentioned earlier, I try a half dozen different venues. I have a there ought to be a law contest in which I engage people who want to make specific proposals and get 250 of those every year. I do sidewalk office hours. I do town halls. I do public forums on issues where people want to have. But it's and you know I again, I don't want to offer this by way of excuse, but just by way of explanation. There are limits to how much we can do.
Yeah.
That's why we have staff, and good members, quite frankly, use their staff well, and their staff keep them informed. Bad members use staff to keep a distance between themselves and their constituents, and that's just the hard reality. But, you know, I would encourage your caller to take advantage of whatever opportunities are available, even if it's, quote, just an email message. I get a tally of those every week from my staff. If there's a phone call or a letter, I see those as well. So it's a challenge given the size of our districts, but we can't let that be the excuse for not taking every opportunity to listen to the people we represent.
This also brings up to some degree, I think, the question of how this issue gets covered and the degree of attention it receives, not only how it's heard in Sacramento, but whether or not we focus enough on that. And Kay from Los Gatos writes, listening to the electorate can only be meaningful if the electorate is informed. With the current decline of California's local newspapers and thereby the decline of meaningful coverage of Sacramento, KQED accepted, the input, Kay says this, honest, I'm not adding that parenthetical, but the decline of meaningful coverage of Sacramento, the input from the uninformed electorate is meaningless. And I guess, Larry Levitt, the question I want to raise about this is that part of this equation. We can point the finger at Joe Simidian, and we can talk about how there ought to be more listening done. But there's also on the side of the media and the press, and KQED included, perhaps not enough attention paid to this issue overall.
Well, and I have to say I've been somewhat surprised at the lack of media coverage of the healthcare debate going on in Sacramento. We've talked some about Massachusetts, and Professor Fong is there. I mean, Massachusetts earlier this year recently passed a healthcare reform bill that provides universal coverage, and there I'd say there were stories in the paper virtually every day during that debate, and that certainly has not been true in California.
And what's your?
Can I just pop back in and say I want to agree and disagree with the observation. I think that in terms of crafting a solution, folks who participate in the debate who are not terribly well informed may not be as helpful. But in terms of understanding the problem and the real concerns that people have in their daily lives, you don't have to be well informed. You just have to have had an experience with the healthcare system, and sharing that experience with people who are in a decision-making role is an important part of getting a result that addresses the concerns people have based on their daily experiences.
And do you have a sense, Carolyn Lukensmeyer, on – sorry, Archon Fung, did you want to chime in?
No. It was actually me jumping in.
Go ahead.
I actually would just like to share the observation that America Speaks has had the privilege of working in a lot of states across the country on many different issues. And it has been our experience that it has been more difficult here in California to get coverage on just the fact that 3,000 citizens are going to come together on Saturday across 8 sites. So that has been a little bit surprising to us as well. It also, we really do believe that the public needs to be informed. I totally agree, Joe, with what you just said, but when we're asking them on the actual differences in proposals of legislation, so we've used a content team of experts plus the legislative and gubernatorial policy people to work through literally in what, as Larry expressed before, is an extremely complex public policy issue. How can you pull out the salient facts and background and contextual information that the public really needs in order to understand these issues? And the discussion guide that will be used on Saturday, your listeners might like to know, is in fact already up online at www.californiaspeaks.org. And we've been asked to make a lot of copies of that available after the fact. The state library system is going to distribute some as an effort to, in fact, continue the education impact of the work that's been invested in here so that this conversation can continue.
And back to our callers, Kathy in Oakland, you're on.
Hello. My question relates to the comment just made, which she partially answered, but is there a website where the general public can view the proceedings of this weekend, either in real time or after the fact? And also, in best-case scenario, if some forms are enacted, what's the earliest year that we would see actual functional changes?
Well, let me respond to the first part, and then maybe the senator would pick up the second part. But I really appreciate your question because I was remiss in not saying it. At www.californiaspeaks.org, the entire proceedings will be webcast on Saturday from start to finish.
And what time is that,
Carolyn?
That's
from 9:30 until 4 in the afternoon. And obviously we know just watching on a webcast, people are unlikely to want to stay on it all day long. So we have actually put up a survey vehicle on the website, which means you too could register your thoughts and opinions on the key policy issues that the people will be deliberating about together on Saturday.
And will those inputs that you get from that forum also be included in what's delivered to the legislature?
Absolutely. They will be. Now, we're able to deliver the results of Saturday's deliberations because of the way we use technology literally at the end of the meeting. So the elected officials who are with us in the room will actually know as they're leaving and will receive a hard copy description of what the public has recommended. The comments that come in through the webcast, we will take a few days next week. For one reason, we want to let more people participate in it for a few days after Saturday. But they will definitely be tallied and delivered to the legislative leaders and the governor.
And again, that web address, if you're interested in watching the streaming, goes on from 9:30 tomorrow morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's www.californiaspeaks.org. And on to Nancy in Oakland. Nancy.
Hi there. I'm one of those citizens who probably doesn't understand everything that's going on here, but it's been in the back of my mind as I've heard all about this. Most of the talk seems to be about how do we make employers pay? Do they, you know, are we talking about employers in private industry, or are we talking about government as an employer, be that at the state, city, or county? Because unless all of us are included, public and private citizens alike, I don't see how it can work.
Thank you, Nancy. And I was remiss, Joe Simidian, in also not giving you an opportunity to answer the second part of our previous caller, which was when changes might actually see them. So if you would please tackle that first, when might changes actually occur, and then Nancy's question about the role of employers.
Changes typically can, when we pass legislation in any given year, if the bill is passed in September and signed into law in October, it ordinarily takes effect January 1st of the coming year. So it could be as early as January 1st of 2008. But the greater the reform, the larger the change, the more dramatic the impact, the more likely it is to be phased in over some period of years. We're not going to snap our fingers in California and suddenly have a new system in place. So I think the answer is, January 1st, 08 is the soonest we're likely to see anything, more likely, depending on the outcome of this effort, to see something phased in over a period of time.
And on her and Nancy's question about the employer mandate, what's currently before it is employers chipping in something like 7%, employees about half that?
And employers, it does include both the public sector and the private sector, as the caller has indicated. The debate that will be an interesting one to watch over the weekend has to do with what is generally referred to as individual responsibility. The governor pushed individual responsibility as part of the larger package, and I think he made a fairly credible case that everyone was going to have to give a little if we were all going to get something out of this process. And I think he, frankly, from a political standpoint, also thought that absent making that case, everyone would say, well, if they can be left out, I want to be left out too. The notions of individual responsibility and the fact that people of very modest means might be required to put something on the table for their health care has been a controversial proposal, and that'll be one of the ones that I look forward to learning a little bit more about what the public thinks after we go through this exercise.
Here's one last email that's important, and we should get your response to. Carolyn Lukensmeyer comes from Letitia in Oakland, who wants to know about who's funding this. And I mentioned the funders at the beginning of the hour, but we should repeat them because of the nature of her question, which is, I'd like to know who's footing the bill for all of this work to engage Californians in healthcare debate. Are the health insurance foundations paying for part of this? If so, that might explain why the single-payer option is not given a full place at the table. And I'm by the line about we are only dealing with what is front and center.
Well, I appreciate Letitia's question, and we have run into the issue of the question about are the funders of this project in some way pushing a certain set of outcomes. The three funders are the California Endowment, California Wellness Foundation, and the Blue Shield Foundation, which is an independently operated 501c3 with its own board, not directly connected to the insurance company. America Speaks is a totally nonpartisan, neutral 501c3 ourselves. And when we were invited to come into California, we said there were two conditions that would have to be met for us to bring our model to the table for healthcare reform. The first was that the funders of the effort could have no agenda and no desire, no intention, and no possibility of influencing the questions we asked or the outcome of what the public had an opportunity to look at.
And I'm sorry, Carolyn Lukensmeyer, we're just about out of time. Time for just a 10-second last thought.
And the last was that it had to be linked to decision makers, because if 3,000 people are going to spend their Saturday, they have a right to know that their leaders are listening.
And we have to leave it there. I want to thank our guests, Carolyn Lukensmeyer, Larry Levitt, Joe Simidian, and Arkan Fong, for being part of our conversation today. Forum is produced by Robin Giannatasio-Mall and Kevin Guillory. Our engineer, Dave Freeman. Our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Dave Iverson, and this is Forum on KQED.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Claude and Louise Rosenberg Jr. Family Foundation.